Good Wednesday to you all, and welcome to the Daily Radio Bible. The day is October the 4th. It is day 277 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter, and we are doing what we do every day. We're taking some time in God's Word. We're letting God's Word take some time on us. You know how we need that, no doubt about that. Well, today we are going into a new book. An amazing book, the book of Esther, chapters 1 and 2, then we go on to Psalm 150, and we finish our reading in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. What do you say we just jump right in here, into this new and amazing book of Esther, chapter 1. We're reading through the New Living Translation. These events happened in the days of King Xerxes, who reigned over 127 provinces, stretching from India to Ethiopia. At that time, Xerxes ruled his empire from his royal throne at the fortress of Susa. In the third year of his reign, he gave a banquet for all his nobles and officials. He invited all the military officers of Persia and Media, as well as all the princes and nobles of the provinces. The celebration lasted 180 days, a tremendous display of the opulent wealth of his empire and the pomp and splendor of his majesty. When it was all over, the king gave a banquet for all the people from the greatest to the least, who were in the fortress of Susa. It lasted for 7 days and was held in the courtyard of the palace garden. The courtyard was beautifully decorated with white cotton curtains and blue hangings, which were fastened with white linen cords and purple ribbons, to silver rings embedded in marble pillars. Gold and silver couches stood on mosaic pavement of porphyre, marble, mother of pearl, and other costly stones. Drinks were served in gold goblets of many designs, and there was an abundance of royal wine reflecting the king's generosity. By edict of the king, no limits were placed on the drinking. The king had instructed all his palace officials to serve each man as much as he wanted. At the same time, Queen Vashti gave a banquet for the women in the royal palace of King Xerxes. On the 7th day of the feast, when King Xerxes was in high spirits because of the wine, he told the 7 eunuchs who attended him, Mehuman, Biztha, Harbona, Biktha, Abegatha, Zethar, and Karkas, to bring Queen Vashti to him with the royal crown on her head. He wanted the nobles and all the other men to gaze on her beauty, for she was a very beautiful woman. But when they conveyed the king's order to Queen Vashti, she refused to come. This made the king furious, and he burned with anger. He immediately consulted with his wise advisors, who knew all the Persian laws and customs, for he always asked their advice. The names of these men were Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Mersena, and Menkunan, 7 nobles of Persia and Media. They met with the king regularly and held the highest positions in the empire. What must be done to Queen Vashti? The king demanded. What penalty does the law provide for a queen who refuses to obey the king's orders, properly sent through his eunuchs? Memucan answered the king and his nobles. Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also every noble and citizen throughout your empire. Women everywhere will begin to despise their husbands when they learn that Queen Vashti has refused to appear before the king. Before this day is out, the wives of all the king's nobles throughout Persia and Media will hear what the queen did and will start treating their husbands the same way. There will be no end to their contempt and anger. So if it please the king, we suggest that you issue a written decree, a law of the Persians and the Medes that cannot be revoked. It should order that Queen Vashti be forever banished from the presence of King Xerxes, and that the king should choose another queen more worthy than she. When this decree is published throughout the king's vast empire, husbands everywhere, whatever their rank, will receive proper respect from their wives. The king and his nobles thought this made good sense, so he followed Memucan's counsel. He sent letters to all parts of the empire, to each province in its own script and language, proclaiming that every man should be the ruler of his own home and should say whatever he pleases. Esther chapter 2. But after Xerxes' anger had subsided, he began thinking about Vashti and what she had done and the decree he had made. So his personal attendant suggested, Let us search the empire to find beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint agents in each province to bring these beautiful young women into the royal harem at the fortress of Susa. Haggai, the king's eunuch in charge of the harem, will see that they are all given beauty treatments. After that, the young woman who most pleases the king will be made queen instead of Vashti. This advice was very appealing to the king, so he put the plan into effect. At that time, there was a Jewish man in the fortress of Susa whose name was Mordecai, son of Jair. He was from the tribe of Benjamin and was a descendant of Kish and Shemaiah. His family had been among those who, with King Jehoiachin of Judah, had been exiled from Jerusalem to Babylon by King Nebuchadnezzar. This man had a very beautiful and lovely young cousin, Hadassah, who was also called Esther. When her father and mother died, Mordecai adopted her into his family and raised her as his own daughter. As a result of the king's decree, Esther, along with many other young women, was brought to the king's harem at the fortress of Susa and placed in Haggai's care. Haggai was very impressed with Esther and treated her kindly. He quickly ordered a special menu for her and provided her with beauty treatments. He also assigned her 7 maids, specially chosen from the king's palace, and he moved her and her maids into the best place in the harem. Esther had not told anyone of her nationality and family background because Mordecai had directed her not to do so. Every day Mordecai would take a walk near the courtyard of the harem to find out about Esther and what was happening to her. Before each young woman was taken to the king's bed, she was given the prescribed 12 months of beauty treatments, 6 months with oil of myrrh, followed by 6 months with special perfumes and ointments. When it was time for her to go to the king's palace, she was given her choice of whatever clothing or jewelry she wanted to take from the harem. That evening, she was taken to the king's private rooms, and the next morning she was brought to the second harem, where the king's wives lived. There she would be under the care of Shashgaz, the king's eunuch in charge of the concubines. She would never go to the king again unless he had especially enjoyed her and requested her by name. Esther was the daughter of Abihail, who was Mordecai's uncle. Mordecai had adopted his younger cousin Esther. When it was Esther's turn to go to the king, she accepted the advice of Haggai, the eunuch in charge of the harem. She asked for nothing except what he suggested, and she was admired by everyone who saw her. Esther was taken to King Xerxes at the royal palace in early winter of the 7th year of his reign, and the king loved Esther more than any of the other young women. He was so delighted with her that he set the royal crown on her head and declared her queen instead of Vashti. To celebrate the occasion, he gave a great banquet in Esther's honor for all his nobles and officials, declaring a public holiday for the province and giving generous gifts to everyone. Even after all the young women had been transferred to the second harem and Mordecai had become a palace official, Esther continued to keep her family background and nationality a secret. She was still following Mordecai's directions, just as she did when she lived in his home. One day, as Mordecai was on duty, at the king's gate, 2 of the king's eunuchs, Bigthana and Teresh, who were guards at the door of the king's private quarters, became angry at King Xerxes and plotted to assassinate him. But Mordecai heard about the plot and gave the information to Queen Esther. She then told the king about it and gave Mordecai credit for the report. When an investigation was made and Mordecai's story was found to be true, the 2 men were impaled on a sharpened pole. This was all recorded in the book of the history of King Xerxes' reign. Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty works. Praise his unequaled greatness. Praise him with the blast of the ram's horn. Praise him with the lyre and harp. Praise him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise him with strings and flutes. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with a loud clanging cymbal. Let everything that breathes sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. Luke 17. Teachings about forgiveness and faith. One day Jesus said to his disciples, "There will always be temptations to sin, but what sorrow awaits the person who does the tempting? It would be better to be thrown into the sea with the millstone hung around your neck than to cause one of these little ones to fall into sin. So watch yourselves. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then if there is repentance, forgive. Even if that person wrongs you 7 times a day and each time turns again and asks forgiveness, you must forgive. The apostle said to the Lord, "Show us how to increase our faith." The Lord answered, "If you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, 'May you be uprooted and be planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. When a servant comes in from plowing or taking care of sheep, does his master say, 'Come in and eat with me'? No, he says, 'Prepare my meal, put on an apron, and serve me while I eat. Then you can eat later.' And does the master thank the servant for doing what he was told to do? Of course not. In the same way, when you obey me, you should say, 'We are unworthy servants who have simply done our duty.'" As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance, crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." He looked at them and said, "Go show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, "Praise God!" He fell at the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And Jesus said to the man, "Stand up and go. Your faith has healed you." One day the Pharisees asked Jesus, "When will the kingdom of God come?" Jesus replied, "The kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, 'Here it is,' or 'It's over there,' for the kingdom of God is already among you." Then he said to his disciples, "The time is coming when you will long to see the day when the Son of Man returns, but you won't see it. People will tell you, 'Look, there's the Son of Man,' or 'Here he is,' but don't go out and follow them. For as the lightning flashes and lights up the sky from one end to the other, so it will be on the day when the Son of Man comes. But first, the Son of Man must suffer terribly and be rejected by this generation. When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days, the people enjoyed banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat and the flood came and destroyed them all. And the world will be as it was in the days of Lot. People went about their daily business, eating and drinking, buying and selling, farming and building, until the morning Lot left Sodom. Then fire and burning sulfur rained down from heaven and destroyed them all. Yes, it will be business as usual right up to the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, a person out on the deck of the roof must not go down into the house to pack. A person out in the field must not return home. Remember what happened to Lot's wife. If you cling to your life, you will lose it. And if you let your life go, you will save it. That night, 2 people will be asleep in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. 2 women will be grinding flour together at the mill. One will be taken, the other left." "Where will this happen, Lord?" the disciples asked. Jesus replied, "Just as the gathering of vultures shows there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near." May God give his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. Things are happening behind the scenes in human history. God is at work, but often in the moment it doesn't look that way. Rest assured, he is. He's at work. He's expertly arranging this story to work out just as he planned. And one day there's going to be a giant aha moment, and it will all become very clear. Esther reminds us of this. In this amazing little book, God's name is never mentioned. And yet his hand is seen in every word, in every line. When we look at it from the end, when we see it from its conclusion, it becomes so obvious to us, then it's one giant massive aha moment. It's like, aha, of course. Look how God was arranging things. Look how he was scheduling things just so. It's like that in our lives too, isn't it? In the end, we too will see that he was there the whole time. It may not have been obvious in the moment, but in the end, there's going to be a big aha moment when our life, our story concludes, then we're going to see, then we'll know. So it is even in human history itself. When it concludes, we will see that God was at work through it all. It'll be like no other aha moment that the world has ever known when we see the kingdom of God fully arrived here, right now. Until then, I want to live with that aha in mind, and I want to encourage you to do the same. That's what living by faith is. It's trusting in God, even when it doesn't seem like he's there, even when it's not obvious that he's at work. That's why we come to the Word each day. Because Esther and the prophets are reminding us that there's a big aha moment coming. And if we pay close enough attention, and if we look at the Word carefully enough, we will see glimpses of what he's up to. We will see that moment coming even before it arrives. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. God's at work. His hand is all over your story. Right there in the thick of it, it's hard to see that. It's hard to recognize that. But at the story's conclusion, well, then it's one giant, aha, of course, God. You were with me all the time. You never let me go. I want to live with this perspective today. There's an aha coming, and I'm going to hold on to his word closely until that day comes. How about we do that together? What do you say? Well, it's always great to hear from you. It really is. Always great to find out a little bit about you, who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So next time you got it, won't you take it and let a brother know? Hey, speaking of that, I want to send a shout out to my brother, my friend, William Dunn from New Jersey. Hey, my brother, so glad that you're joining us on this podcast, and I really look forward to sharing some life with you, you and the family. Like to send a shout out to a few other Jersey peeps out there, to Joe Ruda and Gunther Carrero, and to Julie and to Donna and to Peter and to, boy, the list goes on and on, you know. Let's just say I'm going to look forward to spending some time with the friends there in New Jersey. And speaking of that, I will be there this upcoming Sunday. And looking forward to that time. If you're in the New Jersey, Central Jersey area, would love to have you stop on by for our services at Zarephath Christian Church. Check it out. You can check it out on the webpage, zarephath.org, to get some information. But if you stop on by, let's try and say hi. And yeah. Well, hey, my friends, we have done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible, and I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing and the creek don't rise, I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward. Let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let God's joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that you are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You guys take care. Bye.